Thank you. I decided it was a toss-up, you know, so I flipped a coin, and it ended up where I decided to go with the no-sweat version of worship today. And if you weren't here last week and didn't watch, for some reason last week, I was like drenched after worship, but today we're good. So you're welcome to smell me after service. Last week we wanted to keep our distance because we don't know what was there, but we're better today. So the no sweat version of worship, but what a joy it is to praise God with all of you. Just to be in the house of God as believers, worshiping Him, praise God. Hallelujah. It's pleasing to Him, you know? It's pleasing to Him. We'll go to John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7, we started a new series last week, and I always love preaching this. I've preached it several times, and I'm so thankful when spending time with the Lord and certain things come up of what to share, when to share, and when this one comes up, I'm always blessed because the principles that we talk about here with this series will change your life. I had somebody reach out, you know, and tell me that they remembered the first time they had been in the church. This was in Allegheny for 6 months, and I preached this series, and they said it was that from that point when everything changed for them, and because there's so much in here, but we need help today. Father, we need you, and Lord, I don't say that to look like Mr. Humble Pants up here. Lord, I mean it. We need help, and Father, I know I have a part. I know there's an anointing and a gifting there, but Father, even those things, it's all because of you. And Father, I need help with my speech and preaching today, that they would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, somebody like the Apostle Paul, who had far greater anointing than me, far greater influence than I do, if he prayed that way and he prayed for boldness and utterance, Father, if he needed those things, how much more for me? And so, Father, I recognize that you're the vine. I'm just a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Father, I've proven that in my life, that when you weren't in my life or when I've neglected you, not much good came from anything. And so, Lord, I stand before you, and I mean it with all my heart, Father, that you would help us today, Lord, that my words would not be my own. Father, I am just desperate to see people helped. So, Father, speak through me. Hit bullseyes today. Give people something that they walk out of here and say, you know what? That changed my life. That helped me. That's my opportunity to go higher with Him. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. We always do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, in John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. That's a good verse. That's one of those good verses. You know, you like those verses. But then he says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And so in verse 7, when he's saying you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you, that's talking about success with him. That's talking about success in prayer. That's talking about success in your faith life, right? Asking, confessing, believing, and it actually showing up. That's walking into the harvest. That's the manifestation. And he says that that will happen. He says, but herein is my Father glorified in verse 8. So where is the Father glorified? When the things show up in our lives, when the manifestations come forth. And he says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so the bearing of much fruit is talking about verse 7 of those things actually coming forward. You see in the changes, seeing good things. And notice the Father says, I want you to bear much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, not some fruit. I want you to bear much fruit. And we looked at it last week, that, and you can go back without turning there for time's sake, that the much fruit that he's talking about covers two realms, spiritual and natural. Anything that we would need in the natural realm, anything that we would need in the spiritual realm, God wants that for us. Amen? God wants that for us. God wants that to come forward. We know that doesn't happen automatically, and we'll look at some of those things. But he says he's glorified when we bear much fruit. How many of you know it looks good unto him in his kingdom when the king's children, praise God, are walking in these blessings? You know, spiritually speaking, you think about the fruits of the Spirit. When a Christian's walking in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, all those things, gentleness, when a Christian's, that's portrayed off their life, that's a turn-on to the world. That's different than what the world experiences, you know? And it shows, wow, what's different about them. And so God wants that to come forward. He doesn't want it to be fake fruit. He doesn't want it to be fake joy, fake peace. And so, you know, we can fake these things, but God actually wants you bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which would be the joy, the peace. I mean, what a great way to live in joy, live in peace, live in patience and those things. But then there's also natural things and the abundant life and experiencing things naturally, our needs met, our bodies healed, our minds taken care of, right? Favor and open doors in this natural realm. When we're walking in these things, we are walking billboard or ambassadors for what people can have in Him. Amen? We want to show people, hey, there's something different about the Christian. And unfortunately, how many times do Christians get the rap for being the judgmental ones, the ones that condemn, the ones that are greedy, you know, all that. I remember the story. I was working for an oil and gas company before I was pastoring, and I was working with a gentleman, He took a liking to the waitress at the restaurant, and so we were there on a Friday, and it was kind of busy, you know, and he asked her, what are you doing this weekend? And she said, well, you know, I actually have to work. I'm scheduled to work Saturday and Sunday, and she could tell she was kind of bummed by that, and I said, you know, is it busy on Sundays? She said, it's our busiest day. I said, well, at least that's a silver lining, you know, more people, bigger tips. And she said, no, Sunday is the busiest day I have, and it's the least amount of tips I get because all the church people come in. That's what she said, and it's true. That's why they get busy on Sunday. Why, what in the world is going on when the church people are considered the cheapest? We ought to be the most loving, the most generous, the most forgiving, the most patient, the most kind. We ought to be the most filled with faith, lacking fear. You know, what was your reaction at work? What was your reaction in family when coronavirus hit? It ought to be, God's bigger than this. We have healing in the name, praise God. You know, all these things that come across our plate, but a lot of times that's not the fruit. And God wants that to be the fruit, because not only is that a blessing when that fruit's in your life, you know, but also it's a good picture for the kingdom. Amen. And what he has for us. And so in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, in the Amplified Bible of that verse, it says that we are God's field, garden, and vineyard. Okay? So when it says you are God's... Lynn, can you go to 1 Corinthians 3? Computer's messing up? Oh, okay. That's why we bring our Bibles to church. Because computers can mess up. But anyways, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, it says you're God's husbandry. And that word husbandry can be a little bit blind to us, but it means God's field, garden, and vineyard. So that when he says in John 15 that I want you to bear forth much fruit, well, the reason you'd bear forth much fruit, because to him, you are a fruit-producing thing. You're a field. What's a field do? Produces fruit and harvest. What's a vineyard do? Produces harvest. What's a garden do? It produces harvest. Amen? And so he says, I want you to produce these things. Well, if you go back to John 15 and verse 7, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week. John 15 and verse 7, what is the determining factor? And we're starting to learn and starting to see and starting to realize, my gosh, we have a part to play in all this. In John 15 and 7, it says, if, notice it all starts with a big if. We would love to get to the end of 7 and the beginning of 8, where the end of 7 says the good things are coming forth and the Father's glorified because you're bearing much fruit. We want to get there, just like we want to get to harvest, like financially, right? We want to get to harvest, but you can't skip the seed time. You can't skip the tithe. You can't skip the offering. When God tells you to do something, you can't balk at it and not do what he says. And so here he says in verse 7, if you abide in me, he is the word, and then he talks specifically about his words, and my words in you. Notice that. He says, then you'll ask. It didn't just start the verse by saying, ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. No, he says, if you first abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask. And then it'll be done. And then the Father will be glorified because you're bearing much fruit. And so we have a part to play, but whether or not we bear much fruit comes down to one thing: what we do with the Word. Amen? Not so clear to see why so many people that love the Lord, so many people that are heaven bound, are not bearing much fruit. Because a lot of people don't do the right things with the Bible. Don't do the right things with the Word. Now go with me to Mark 4 and verse 14, because you say, okay, we got to do the right things with the Word. Well, what in the heck does that even look like? What in the heck does that even mean? Well, thank God He didn't leave us in the dark. He told us exactly what to do. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, Mark 4 and verse 14, it says, "The sower soweth the Word." So the Word, now remember, this parable's coming from Jesus talking about, in the earlier verses, about literal seed being scattered. He was talking to them about a parable, and now this is the parable explained. But in that parable before, he talked about literal, real seed falling on literal, real ground, and the different grounds that it fell on, and what it did or didn't do. And the disciples, what does that mean, Lord? So now he's going to explain it. He's saying, the sower sows the Word. So the planter, the one that's scattering the seed, or the farmer, is the sower. And what we're sowing here, what he was really talking about, was not natural seed that you buy at the seed store. He's talking about the Word of God. So he likens the Word to a seed, and he says, these are they by the wayside. So now it's talking about people, and it likens people to a plot or a type of ground. It says, these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, but endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. In the name of Jesus. Take that. Sorry, I just had to deal with something here real quick. Praise God. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So there's three grounds here, four grounds total, but three of the grounds had the seed hit them and nothing changed. Nothing happened. And it gives you the reasons why in each of those verses. But then in verse 20, it talks about the one ground that actually did produce something, and it was the people that did the right thing with the Word of God. Amen? And so whether or not you as a plot of land bring forth fruit, it has everything to do with what you do with the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, what we have to see here is you have to understand, because you don't want to get in a religious mindset, the seed that falls on you is perfect. It's perfect. The Bible says it's incorruptible seed. The Word of God's incorruptible. We looked at those last week. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp, alive, powerful. Amen? The seed is not the problem here. All of these different people had the same seed fall on them. But we see that we as the people are the ground. We determine, amen? And remember I talked about my blackberry smoothie. Oh, at the bottom of that thing were tons of seeds. And I thought I was going to like it. I got them all in my mouth. I never had that many seeds in my mouth. And I'm chewing on them and swallowing them. And I'm thinking, that's a lot of seeds to go into my belly. What happens if a blackberry bush grows in my stomach? What's that going to be like? What's going to happen? Has that ever happened before? And then I got into my right mind and realized that's not going to happen. Now, it's not because there's something wrong with the seed. Because those same seeds in different ground would produce a blackberry bush. But it's in the wrong ground, it's not going to grow. But it's not the seed's problem. And so we're the ground. And I sent a slick text out last week that said, you know, I believe in all of you. We can all be good ground if we want to. Not everybody is good ground, but we can all be good ground. How do I know? I came from the bad ground, cultivated the bad ground, and turned it into good ground. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not perfect, and there's still things in each of these that I need to tweak, you know, and straighten up and can, you know, I'm still way far away from arriving. Don't get misunderstand me. But when I came into Christianity in 2002, the plot of ground looks a lot different than it does now. And so what I'm saying is, if you recognize, because what we're going to do is we're going to look at all these grounds, and if you recognize, holy cow, I'm a little of all of them, or I'm a lot of all of them, or I'm all of them, you know. Don't lose hope and lose heart and think, well, I just am stuck in that 75% category and I can never get in the 1/4. No, you can take a plot of land. You can work it. You can work it. Amen. You know, I like when I was, you know, you talk about like building projects and stuff. And I'll say something and my mind doesn't go, is not geared that way as far as building and construction and seeing projects and stuff. I'm more of what Dr. Dufresne was, which he was the visionary, let someone else carry out the work. It's hard. I don't see that kind of, you know, to be able to do that. But I'll say to the contractor or something, I'll say, is it possible? And they'll say, Mike, everything's possible. And they'll do something like this. You can do anything. We'll do anything you want here. We'll make it happen for you if you got the money for it. And the thing is, why I'm saying that is, I don't care how bad of ground you are. It is possible if you're willing. What was he saying? You willing to shell out the money, we'll make it happen for you. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how much we have to turn things around, tear things down, raise things from the dead. We'll do it. And you can turn into good ground. Well, I was in the worst ground possible. But as I saw the Word and let the Word get in me and started to realize, got to make this adjustment, got to make that adjustment, then I started to bear forth fruit, praise God. And life got better when I was bearing forth much fruit. Praise God. And so we're going to look at these things and look at these grounds over the next few weeks, and we're going to what? Humbly come to the Word. What's that mean? You're willing to be corrected. That means you're not pushing against. You're not putting your nose in the air. How dare you say this? No, we're going to look at the Bible. Remember, God's Word is there to help us, and it's corrective in nature. And so we need to see, praise God, what we're doing wrong so we can fix it. And so the first ground we're going to look at is the wayside ground. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. And these are they which are sown by the wayside. Where the word is sown, notice this now, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, I want you to see that, because when you recognize, see what the parable of the sower is a pointing out or a bringing forth to renew your mind to some things, that there's an assault on the Word of God in your life. The devil wants to get the Word of God out of your life. Why? It was only by the Word of God and being able to do the right thing with the Word of God that the good ground could even bring forth fruit. They didn't bring forth fruit because they were moral. They didn't bring forth fruit because they needed the fruit. They didn't bring forth the fruit because they deserved the fruit. They worked the Word and it worked, praise God. Hallelujah. They worked the Word and it worked, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the truth. That's what happened. And so I want you to see this, why Satan wants to get the word out of your life. And we'll see in through all these different types of grounds why that's happening, or what's making that possible, or what are the things that are attempting to pull the word out of your life. And so first and foremost, we have to recognize there's an assault against the word. You know, the one ground that's not listed here, because they're not even considered a ground, is the ground that never even hears the word. But how many of you know there are Christians in that category? Now, when I say hear the word, I'm not just talking about, oh, I meditate at home, I watch TV and watch preachers on TV and I meditate on the word. That's not being a doer of the word in the full measure of how you're to receive the word. There is supposed to be someone that waters you. Yeah. Paul said, Apollos, I watered, Apollos, or I sowed, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. What's he saying? There was no increase without a minister sowing the word. He wasn't saying that people could get all this by themselves, and we've talked about that several times, but recognizing how many people have just a lack of a revelation that the fruit bearing forth in their life simply starts with showing up. Having attention, attentive to the word. Doesn't Proverbs chapter 4 say, my son, give attention to the word of God, attend to the words, incline your ear, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. All that harvest comes forth after what? Someone was attentive to the word. Someone had good attention and attendance and inclination to the word. And so many people just have forsaken the Bible. My favorite thing is the people that aren't faithful in church that try to tell me how faithful they are at home with the Bible and stuff. Bull. Yeah,
that's right.
Bull. Because if you were faithful with the Bible and you were in the presence of God, he'd tell you to get your rear to church.
Yeah.
He would. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like you think to yourself, well, you're a pastor. Of course you're going to say that. Well, yeah, and you know what? And so what? A dentist is also going to tell you you need to be in the dentist's office to get your teeth cleaned. Well, you're a dentist. Of course you're going to say that. Yeah, no duh. Because if I can get you here, I can clean the nastiness out of your teeth. That's the truth. Praise God. And so he wants to get the word out of your life, and we're going to look at that. But I want to point out a couple things today of why it's so vital. Ephesians 6 and verse 17, why there's such an attack against this thing, against the word, to get it out of your life. And again, all the other grounds will show you, and even in this ground we'll see some things, of what causes that to happen. What causes that word? Because what's alarming to me about all four of the grounds is they all had that perfect, precious, powerful, supernatural seed fall on them and didn't produce anything. Hallelujah. So there must be things. First start is hearing it, but then there must be things that cause that word not to flourish. Cause that word not to grow. But in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, it says, now this is talking about the armor of God. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now think about a sword. Back then, the sword is like the gun, the rifle, the machine gun, you know, that people would use now. But that's what they had back then. It said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when I hear that, you know, there's got to be more to it, because what does that mean? This is the sword of the Spirit. Do I take this and, you know, beat devil in the name of Jesus? I'm swiping you down, cutting you down. No, that's not doing anything. And I'm not trying to be funny with it, but he says it's the sword of the Spirit. What does that mean? How do we cut down the enemy? How do we take care of the enemy? Well, you have to understand that in the Greek, that word in verse 17 is the word rhema. And that word means the spoken word of God. So literally you could read that, because again, just taking the word with you doesn't defeat anything. Just taking the word. No, the word never works. Listen, how do we know this? People walk by this book. This will help you with your sickness. This will help you with your finances. This will help you with your kids. Walk by this book, by the millions in Walmart every single day. And they're walking by unsaved, hellbound, sick, broke, depressed. And this book says you can be saved. And this book says you can be healed. And this book says you can be financially free. And that you can walk in peace and joy and all these things. Well, let's think about salvation. Unsaved people are walking by their help every single day. And they have the word there. The word's right there. There's people that go stay in hotels, and you open the drawer and there's a Bible. And they have the word with them, but they're not saved. They're not saved. When did salvation happen? When you got it in your heart and spoke it with your mouth, then the promise came. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, or you can read it this way, which is the spoken word of God. Now, don't take my looking at this or my perspective of this to heart unless it backs up by the Bible. But remember, without turning there for time's sake, remember Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the devil for 40 days. The devil was coming against him, wasn't he? The devil was messing with him. What was the one thing that got the devil off Jesus' back? What did he do? He opened his mouth. And every time the devil said something or did something, Jesus said, it's written.
Yeah.
What was he doing? In the Spirit, taking the sword and cutting the enemy down. That's how he did it. Jesus didn't just hold up his Bible or just stand there because he was the Word. That's as good as a picture of anything that you can't just have the Word. Because he was the Word and he didn't just stand there and get victory over the devil. Nope. Because the Word isn't powerful until it's in the Christian's mouth. It has the potential, but note, so then, okay, we need to be speaking the Word. But this is why the devil tries to get it out of you. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. Well, when the Word is sown, hallelujah, when the Word is sown, the Bible talks about it being sown on your heart. That we believe with the heart. When you first hear and believe, it comes in the heart. And you're not speaking the Word in faith in situations which is causing the enemy to be cut down if you're not getting the Word. If the Word is taken out of your life and the Word is rejected and the Word's not a regular thing, there's not an abundance in your heart to flow out of your mouth in times of trial like Jesus. It just flowed out of him. And what? He got victory over it. Praise God. He got victory over it. Now, that's number one. It's your weapon. Why would the devil want to get rid of the Word? It's your weapon. How many people, things come against them, they don't have anything to say. They're not saying anything. That's the equivalent of going into battle unarmed. Jesus didn't just not say anything. No, he spoke the Word, spoke the sword. Praise God. Now go to Luke 8 and verse 12. Why else would the devil want to get the Word out of your life? Luke 8 and verse 12. This is Luke's version of the parable of the sower, talking about the wayside, but it sheds some light on some things. It says, these are they by the wayside when they hear, then comes the devil, takes away the Word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Lest they should believe and be saved. Now, our minds instantly go to salvation and being born again. Hallelujah. And that's where our minds instantly go, but that's not all that it's talking about. In Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And we think, salvation, born again. But that word saved is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, and it means a complete salvation. What's he talking about? Everything you would need saving from Jesus when you call on his name is greater than that. Amen? Amen. Sickness, disease, poverty, depression, oppression, fear, anxiety, worry, all those things the name of Jesus can take care of. Hallelujah. And so when it says he wants to get the Word out of you, out of their heart, take the Word out of their heart, because that's where it gets sown onto, lest they should believe and be saved, how do you think you're going to walk into your healing? You're going to hear the Word, believe the Word, and be saved by that Word. Amen. How do you think things started to change in my life? Addictions and fear and sicknesses in my life and being absolute in the throes of poverty. I heard the Word. Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4? He said that I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. Why, what's he saying? When the poor hear the gospel, it fixes the poor problem. No, poorness is cultural. Poorness is whatever you want. No. You put the Word in a third world country, and you saturate that third world country, prosperity's coming. Oh, it is. I represented a third world country as a person, and the Word came into my life and preached the gospel to the poor. Why? That's what the poor need, the gospel. The gospel turns it around. But why? Because they hear the Word, believe the Word, and are saved by that Word. So why does he want to get it out of your life? Because it's the very avenue to get you into the fruit. You can't have your healing apart from the Word. Because the word brings faith, praise God. Romans 10, 17, right? Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. It's the Word that causes faith, glory to God. Devil gets it out, gets the faith out, gets the faith out, gets the belief out, gets the receiving out. So now let's look at how this happens with the time we have left. In the wayside ground. How does this happen? How does the devil come and take it away from the wayside ground? Well, jump over to Matthew 13 and verse 19. This is Matthew's version. And of course, that's what's good about the Gospels. You know, each writer wrote some of the same things, and each, you know, talked about different things. It'd be no different than if you and I witnessed an accident and were told to write up a report. We might include some of the same things. We might include some different things. Doesn't mean that me not including what you included means you're lying about what you included. We just wrote different things. Amen. And there's nothing contradictory between them, but they just write different things and we can get different things from them. But in Matthew 13 and verse 19, the Bible says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catches it away that was sown in his heart. He is that receives seed by the wayside. So one of the things, not the only thing we're going to see here, but one of the reasons that people that hear the word and it doesn't produce anything is because it falls on wayside ground. And one of the characteristics of the wayside ground are the people that hear the word and don't understand some things of the word and leave it at a place of not understanding. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most frustrating things as a pastor. Why? Because the word is supposed to turn into harvest. So that word that you get, that you say, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. I wasn't brought up that way. That rubs my religious thinking the wrong way. I don't want anything to do with that and push against it. And I'll give you some examples. You are basically squashing or throwing away that seed that was meant to produce great things in your life. And people do it all the time. To comprehend means to understand. When people don't understand or get the word and don't do anything to gain understanding, hallelujah, the devil comes and takes it away. My people are destroyed for their ignorance. Let me use an example. There was somebody in the Allegheny church. This was, I don't think it's 2 years yet, but it's over a year now. How do I know? Because there was no masks around. So it was over a year ago. I know that at least. That's how I'm going to have all my timelines the rest of my life. Pre-mask, post-mask. No more BC and AD. PM, the PM timeline. Pre-mask, post-mask. Praise God. That's how I'm going to start doing it because that's how I remember. But anyways, she had come into the church and she had been sensing, she had a friend that, you know, within the church that was talking about our church and was sensing that there's more for her. Well, in knowing what I know now, you know, and from different things, you know, where she was getting fed, no mention of tithes and offerings, no mention of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, laying on of hands for the sick and believing for the, that stuff's foreign, that stuff's, you know, all that stuff is, you know, and so what she's sensing more is her spirit's crying out for God. Yeah. These things are God. And so she had come to a couple of our services, and both times she had come up to me afterwards in tears and saying, I'm just absolutely amazed in two services, the things that you've talked about, and I didn't know anything about her life, that the word has hit that are specifically what I'm going through. How many of you have been there before? You're in a message like, is he spying on my home? Did he bug my home? I mean, I'll be sitting in a Pastor Michael service or a Pastor Nancy meeting. I'm like, am I dealing with some peeping Toms here? What's going on? How do they know this? How do they know this? I don't know I need this, but the Holy Ghost does. So we magnify the Holy Ghost in the word. And so she's in tears. I'm just thrilled because I'm like, I know that's how it's supposed to happen. That's what happens in a Holy Ghost church. And I got a leading. Didn't know what was going to happen, but I got the leading. Give this person a call and tell them because of where they're at, they're going to see things, hear things, and experience things that they've never seen, heard, or experienced before. Listen, I grew up in the Methodist church with wonderful people, but were ignorant to some of the things of the word. When I stepped over into a church like this, listen, I saw, heard, and experienced things I never saw, heard, or experienced before. You know what we're talking about, right? I thought I had been translated into the granola section of the body of Christ. The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. Right? And I told her on the phone, I said, listen, you're going to see things, hear things, experience things that you never have before because you're not being fed those things. I said, but everything we do will be backed up by the Word. Everything we talk about will be backed up by the Bible. And when these things happen, because they're going to, that's the devil, parable of sower, is going to try to come in and take that word. What's that word doing for? Changing her world. And she's starting to, so I preach those two messages, and she comes up to me after and starts talking about all the things in her life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you need this more than ever before. And the word is here to now start producing. So I'm, as a shepherd, trying to keep that word from getting plucked out of her, and told her that. Oh, absolutely, Pastor Mike. Absolutely, I'll do that. Okay, just remember this, because it's going to be weird to your mind, flesh things. Well, it was, I don't know, a service or two later, I had gotten a word of knowledge about a heart issue. And two people had come up, and one of them I laid hands on, and they hit the deck. I mean, just dropped, power of God. And the other one I laid hands on, and they didn't fall to the floor, which, again, falling is not whether you receive or not. Praise God. And what's amazing about how much this was God, to let you know that this was a God thing, I knew it was, but my heart was grieved. Both those people had testimonies the next week about their heart and things with doctors changing, which, praise God for that. But the thing about it was, my heart was grieved because I knew that that word, even though it was for those people, the word's always for people. God was specifically trying to reach a certain person in the... And I had a woman come up to me after service, and she said to me, I'd never seen him before, they were brand new. This is amazing, brand new. And she says, will you pray for my husband? And I had noticed she was sitting back there with a man, and she said, he's got, and she listed these severe heart problems. And I'm like, well, was that your husband that you were sitting back there with? Yeah, it was. I said, well, did you hear God called out heart? I mean, we're talking about Allegheny, we're talking about a handful of people here. Brand new people coming. What's God calling out? A condition I had no idea the guy's dealing with. And I said, but he's, you know, he's embarrassed, doesn't want to come up. This isn't for him. And I thought, oh, you missed it. You know, God was trying to reach out. And so I did as much as he can, but that anointing was for him. And so that was a God movement, a God move there in that service to call that out. And so that woman that was brand new, you know, that I had that talk with, you're going to see, hear, and she had never seen someone hands laid on them. She had never seen someone fall and hit the deck under the power of God. Well, she never saw that, and I never saw her ever again. I left messages, had the friend reach out, you know, without trying to be a stalker. Don't want to go to prison for that. And then I left messages because all this stuff, and finally, after ignoring me, she got back to me and said, I'll sit down with you in the future, which was a big fat lie. Although I guess the future could be 20 years from now, so she covered herself. But she still hasn't reached out to me, and she said, I'm going to go sit with my pastor first and ask him about this stuff. I thought, she gone. That's over. Because I already know what that pastor believes. I already know what that pastor preaches. I already know what he's saying about our churches. Here through the grapevine, you know, we're the crazy, nutty church that believes all this stuff. Never saw her, but what was that word? What was that things of God, laying on of hands is the word. Falling under the power of God, that's the word. Speaking in tongues, that's the word. What's that word meant to do? Grow her, get her into things. And what did Satan do? She didn't understand it, plucked it right out of her. She planted right back into the very church that she said was dead. That wasn't, but now comfort level, you know, with their flesh. Well, I see it all the time. I preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. And I tell people what the Bible, I mean, I tell people Jesus commands it, that he didn't suggest it. I tell people that without it, you don't have power. That's what the Bible says. Without it, you don't have power. Hallelujah. And I tell people that, and I preach it. And people say, oh, I'm not used to that. I didn't grow up with that. That's not, I don't understand that tongues business. And just leave it there. Well, what was that? It was the sower sowing something to you that was meant to produce a harvest in your life that you've never had before. But because you didn't understand it, and it was weird and uncomfortable to your flesh, you pushed against it, right? And now what? Fruitless. Yeah. It didn't happen. The fruit didn't come. Why? You were the wayside ground. How many times? You know, if you hear something in the message, I don't understand that. I'm not used to. Don't leave it in that place. Because there are so much you don't know. So much that you're uncomfortable with. In fact, the Bible says the things of the Spirit are foolishness and uncomfortable to the natural flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's true. It's true. And so many people leave it there. Glory to God. I'll just say this before we go forward here. You know, I came into in January of 2002. In May of 2002, I believe it was May of spring, that's the story about when the Durants were in Fredonia. And we've had the Durants in, you know, and I mean, they have a Holy Ghost ministry, you know, under Brother Hagin and flowing with the power and the miracles of God. Well, I'd never been to a special service. I had been to my pastor's services for 5 months. And one of the things that turned me on so much about Fredonia Church and Pastor Michael was this man was, everything he was saying was in the Bible. So, wow, I've not experienced that before. And usually we just get Reader's Digest, poems and, you know, things and little anecdotes and things. And, wow, this is the Bible, 45 minutes to an hour of Bible. My spirit was hungry for those things. And so I had known enough to know that he was a word man. And of course, in those meetings, I'm seeing and experiencing and, hearing things I've never seen, heard, or experienced before. Tongues, laying on of hands. I mean, in a guest minister meeting, getting all the hungry people there, they're shouting like never before. There's rejoicing like never before. People are praying in tongues. Hands are being laid on people. People are falling out under the power. Words of knowledge are given. Tongues interpretation. All these things. And as a Methodist boy, that's rubbing me the wrong way. That's rubbing me the wrong way, praise God. Why? I didn't understand it. Didn't make sense to me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Didn't understand it. Didn't make sense to me. It was weird to my mind. And you know what my mind wanted to do? Fight it.
Yeah.
Run for the hills. Yeah. Because why? Our flesh and mind, if we don't understand it, it's not comfortable. We like to be in the know. We like to have things figured out. We like to know exactly what's going on. And I didn't. And I was so tempted to leave, but I remembered one thing that you ought to remember when you hear stuff like this. And what this girl, woman should have remembered is this. I don't know everything. That's a humble place to be, but it's true. I realized, you know what? I don't know everything. I'm brand new at this. Maybe, just maybe, there's things that I don't know and have never heard. Yeah, and there's a whole lot of them, and still a whole lot of them. And so I remember thinking also the second thing, I trust my pastor.
Amen.
If you don't trust your pastor, you should find a new pastor.
Right.
Seriously, like if you think I'm shady character and you don't trust me, why are you here?
Right.
It's the truth. Like, and so I was like, I trust him. He's given me the word. I know, he's not trying to steer me wrong. And so he wouldn't have people in that all of a sudden are going against what he's doing. Maybe I just don't know everything. And you know, it was the third night or the fourth night of the meeting, the night before the last night of the meeting, and I was in my bedroom, Water Street in Fredonia, you know, and I was going to Fredonia at that time. It was one of my many tours of the Pastor Michael, Pastor Mike, you know, not have a clue what he's going to do in his life tour, one of my college stops. And I remember being on my knees humbly before the Lord saying, Father, I don't understand everything. This is weird to me. I want to run. I don't want to go back to the meeting. I'm not getting anything out of the meetings. I'm so distracted and thinking about, oh gosh, what if they go start speaking in tongues again? What if they start laying hands? I don't want to be a part of this stuff. I don't want it. I said, but Lord, I know my pastor, and 5 months he's shown me that he's a word man. I just don't believe in my heart, you know, that he just would all of a sudden go off. So maybe there's some, I need to sit down with him and talk with him. And you remember what I did for the next half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, got on my knees and cried out, if this is you, I want more of you. 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 Well, what's that someone doing? Not pushing against the word, but going down the road of understanding. And I meant, I want more of you. That's all I said. I want more of you. I want more of you, Father. And it was the next service. You know, it's packed in there. A few hundred people. And Brother Kevin's preaching. And if you ever seen him preach, man, does he shout? You think I shout? You see how red his face gets. And he's preaching fire. And he stops mid-sermon. Just stops his preaching, knew that the Lord dealt with him. And he walks down the aisle to about, I was about halfway to three quarters of the way to the back. And he points at me. I remember, I'm brand new at this stuff. And when he points at me, man, oh, and as self-conscious as I already am, you can imagine what I'm thinking and feeling. And he says to me, you stand up in the aisle. I thought, what's going to make me look stupider? Standing up in the aisle? Or disobeying him. I thought, I'll just go along with what he says. That will look less stupid. So I stood up, and he said, and he pointed to me, and he said, you want more of God, don't you? Now remember what I was praying the night before. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. And he said, you want more of God, don't you? And when he said that, oh my gosh, this God stuff is real. Amen. And he went to lay hands on me, and man, he hit me, and I flew literally off my feet, flew back into the usher's arm and laid glued on the floor for I don't know how long. I couldn't get up. The anointing was so heavy and strong. And again, I've never fell before under the power. I've never experienced this. This is something brand new, and I'm just down there drunk as a skunk. Woo! I like this. I'm not even moving. I didn't care about being, like, think about it. If one of you right now got up and laid on your back on the floor, how weird would that look for the rest of the service? That's what I did. Didn't care. Because I was experiencing something I never experienced before. And I asked Pastor Tim, before he was Pastor Tim, and Reverend Randy at the end of the service, because I was sitting with them, I said, how hard did he hit me? Because it felt like he nailed me, you know, but I didn't have any pain. They say he didn't get within 2 feet of you. He said, be blessed, the power of God hit me, I flew off. Nothing fake about it. But what if I'd have said in the first night of the meeting, oh, one of these tongues churches, bye. Oh, they lay hands on people, bye. No, I don't want to be the wayside ground. Don't be the wayside ground. Yeah, it might rub your religious ideas the wrong way in your past, but go down the road of the Word. Amen. And last but not least, we got to close this up. Go to Matthew 13 and verse 19, where it says, and we'll close with this one here about being the wayside ground, because some of you might think, well, that's not me. You know, I'm in for the long haul. Whatever I hear, if it's in the Word, I'll accept it. But when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that was sown in his heart. This is he which is received by the wayside. Now I want you to see something here, verse 19 in the Amplified. Can you pull that up in the Amplified, Lynn? It says, while anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it. The comprehending is the understanding. To grasp means this, to seize it, to hold on to it firmly. Amen? Amen? To seize it, to hold on to it firmly. Now, remember in Luke 8 verse 12, it said that the seed falls on a person's heart. But that even though it fell on the heart, it didn't get fully produced. It can fall on your heart, but if it's not seized and grasped, right, to hold on to it firmly, it won't produce. Now, what am I talking about? Well, think about this way. I learned the hard way one time. You know, some of the things I do afterwards, I'm like, what is wrong with me? You know, do I even have a brain? Am I the Tin Man? Was it the Tin Man that needed? No, he needed a heart. See, I don't have. I don't even know the Wizard of Oz. Am I the Scarecrow? You know, is that who I am? Do I have a brain up there? I told this last week, we had a plot of land that was dug up in our yard, and it was a big dirt spot. We needed grass. And so I just went out, threw grass seed down, and then I thought, this is kind of fun. Look at all the birds that are at our house now. And I just thought, this is great. Look at how pretty they are. All the birds. And then I guess he's my cousin-in-law, Colin, you know, he does landscaping for us and stuff. I told him, I said, the grass isn't growing very good, but we got lots of birds now. What's going on here, you know, a lot of birds. He said, well, what'd you do with that grass seed when you threw it down? He said, I just threw it down and walked away. Spray some water on it, and then watch the birds. And you know, the birds seem to like this area a lot. They're congregating here. He said, Did you go over it with your four-wheeler or your lawnmower? Did you tamp it into the ground, get in the ground? No. Well, what happened? It was on the surface. Didn't get in. The birds of the air came and what? Took the seed away. The seed that was meant to produce. Now, how does that translate with us? Well, when it says when we don't seize it and hold it firmly, the best way I can put it is this. What's happening right now is like you going to the grocery store. When you hear a message on healing, you hear a message on faith, you hear a message on whatever the word is saying, on worry and stuff, and we amen it, we're excited, oh, that's my help, that's my help, that's my help. And then you walk away and don't touch that word ever again. Yeah, the seed's down, that's my help, that's my help. But if I didn't get the seed down into my heart, And how does seed get down in the heart? Hearing, 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 hearing. So what am I saying? This is like the grocery store. You're picking up what you need. But when you pick up what you need, you know, I've been on this kick where I've been eating chicken, sweet potatoes, and asparagus. Well, I buy that chicken raw. I buy that asparagus uncooked. And I buy those sweet potatoes unpeeled and, you know, as firm as can be. And so I get them at the groceries. I get it, and I get the potential for something great. But until I get home and make those groceries, cook those groceries, put those groceries away, do the right thing with those groceries, I don't reap the benefits of it. When your pastor, people say, I don't know where I should study in the Word. I'm giving you 52 opportunities every year to take something home each and every week and have something all week to produce, to make up, and to get down into your heart. And so many people hear it one time, and they're amen, and they know it's their help, and they walk out, and there's no change. Why? You didn't seize and grasp it. You didn't get it down in. Because he said faith does not come by the one hearing. I'm not saying you have to go home and listen to these sermons, you know, over and over again, but take the notes, take the scriptures, go home, meditate on the word. What are you doing? Packing it into the soil, getting it down into your heart. And so many people are so casual with it. Hallelujah. And I don't mean to put people on the spot here, but if I were to say to you, you know, tell me about your healing. Why does healing belong to you, sick person? I've preached this several times. There's no reason why you shouldn't know it. But so many people would stand there and look at me with a dumb look on their face, not have a clue. Well, because you said I'm supposed to be healed. You can't go by my revelation. You know why I say you should be healed? Because I got things in my heart that tell me that you should be healed. And I'm firm on it. Or, okay, you broke person, you're believing for money. What? Why is that God's will? Because you can only have what's God's will. What? Tell me about this. Well, you're always talking about prosperity. Why? I've preached it several times, but you know what you did? You just left it there and the birds came. Took it away from you. Don't be the wayside ground. Again, I'm not saying, you know, this 45-minute to an hour message, you got to replay and replay and replay. But the product that you got, you take this home. Like when we talk about worry, you take that home and what? You get that in you and you meditate on that. When we talk about healing, you take those scriptures home and you meditate on them. You get them in your heart. Prosperity and, you know, baptism of the Holy Ghost, all these things. And then why? The devil can't come and take it away. Amen. Praise God. Well, next week we'll look at the next ground and we'll just see what we need to tweak and adjust. But we're going to get there. Amen. We're cultivating. Praise God. We're digging some things up. Father, we are so grateful for the Bible, so grateful for your word and for your help. Lord, you love us all, no matter what ground we're at or where we're at. Father, you love us all. You're just trying to help us, not trying to make us feel stupid or bad about ourselves. But Father, help us to grow. And Lord, when I say that, I don't mean you just do all the work, because I know we have work to do. But Father, I thank you for your mercy and your help. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We love you. We're so grateful. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around. As I glance over this service, you know, as far as I know, everybody in here has received Jesus, is on their way to heaven. But if by chance there's not somebody in here, and of course I can't know who's watching online or in the future via the archive, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a great way to know that or not is asking yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, am I 100% confident I'd go to heaven with him? If your answer is, I'm not sure, or I hope so, or I think so, or no, or I don't know, my goodness, get off that fence of eternity. Get off that uncertain place that you're in, because the Bible says you can know that you know. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus, not you might have eternal life, not you hope you have eternal life. The Bible says you'll have eternal life and you will not perish. So if you're in here this morning and you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand. You know, if there is anybody at all, just give you the opportunity. Of course, I don't see any hands, but if you're watching online right now or in the future via the archive, do not let this moment pass you by. Again, Jesus made it simple. And if you want a story to go look at how simple it is, because you might think, I don't know, am I good enough, this or that, look at the story of when Jesus died on the cross. There were three people on those crosses that day, and one of them was a criminal that Wasn't a church-going person, wasn't moral, wasn't what you call a person that lived a good life, but he cried out to the name of Jesus in one moment of belief, and Jesus saved him and said, you're going to heaven. And so I'm telling you, brother, sister, watching, you are qualified. You are qualified for heaven in Jesus' name. So when this service is over, just get on your knees, cry out to him. Romans 10:9 is your outline. You go look at that. It'll build confidence. Send me an email after you cry out to him. Just declare you believe. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that, he'll do his part. Heaven will be yours, and God has so many good things for you. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. I'll help you with your next steps. He is so for you and loves you. Praise God. Can we stand to our feet and worship him and thank him for his goodness and his mercy? Father, we love and praise you. We magnify the name of Jesus. Thank you for the word. Love you so much. Thank you for the growth that's coming. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, don't forget, if you need prayer, come forward. Put your offerings in as you leave, and then no Wednesday service. We'll see you next week. Love you and appreciate you. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.